Thank you for being here this morning. Wonderful to see your faces today. Wonderful to see God's people gather together and sharing as the service was beginning, reconnecting and seeing each other. It is certainly good that we are here together. Our assigned reading for this Christ the King Sunday, there are four assigned readings every Sunday. One of the four assigned readings today, the words of the Apostle Paul from the first chapter of his letter to the church in Colossae, which is a town not far from Ephesus in modern-day Turkey. Paul writes these words, "May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to God." The word of the Lord. Joyfully giving thanks to God. Joyfully giving thanks is not a given. It is a choice. 1 month from today, we will gather under the stars to sing Christmas carols, to illuminate this sanctuary with the soft glow of 300 candles. Today is November 24th, but 1 month from today, we will come here to contemplate an event that occurred halfway around the world 2,000 years ago, an event that changed human history, a movement that began in the heart of God and would be played out in the lives of ordinary peasants, an unwed mother, tax collectors, and fishermen. The movement, remarkably, would outlive King Herod. It would outlive Caesar Augustus. It would, in fact, thrive long after the Roman Empire was remembered only in history books. And we are the remnant. We are the remnant of that movement. 2,000 years later, we are the followers of Jesus. It is just 1 month till Christmas. Can you feel your blood pressure going up when I say that? You know, it's a make or break it time for retailers. Target, Nordstrom, Amazon, Walmart, all trying to make their year-end profitable. And then what happens after Christmas? Well, after Christmas comes the big rush. The big rush. Boxing Day? No, not Boxing Day. Returning those sweaters that don't fit? No. The after Christmas sales? No. The big rush occurs at a variety of companies that provide DNA testing. For just after the holidays, people need to know for sure if they're really related to the people they just spent the holidays with. 1 month from today, so much to do. And many of you I know have begun to prepare already for the holidays. After all, Thanksgiving's just a few days away. Some of us are making travel plans. Some are cleaning the house, preparing for the arrival of guests. Some will be gathering with friends. Some from our congregation will be serving or delivering meals as a part of the mobile turkey unit. 30 days till Christmas. Now, the holiday season for many is the most wonderful time of the year. Trees and decorations, cookies and lights, cards and holiday cheer. But also for many, it's the most dreadful time of the year. Loneliness or grief, long dark days, painful memories, unrealistic expectations. It's a recipe for despair. Which will it be for us this year? What will we make of this holiday season? Remember, joyfully giving thanks is not a given. No, it is a choice. The opening pages of the Bible speak of God's creativity, God creating everything that exists. The story of planet Earth and the human story begins in the mind of God. And the reoccurring theme in the litany of the creation story is quite simple. It is good. It is good. The sun that warms the earth is good. The moon that controls the tides is good. The trees and the vegetation are good. The fish, birds, and animals are good. The people who walked in the garden and enjoyed an intimacy with God were good. It was good. We are told over and over and over again that it was all good. There was only one thing that was described as not good. Only one thing described as not good in the creation story. Do you know your trivia? The only thing in the creation story that was described as not good was the fact that the man was alone without a partner. Now, in response to this not good situation, God creates the masterpiece of all creation, the woman. And immediately she realizes that she has a daunting project on her hands, the man. Woman and man in the garden, all creation in harmony. It was good, the Bible tells us. In the creation story, Genesis chapters 1 and 2, the refrain is clear. It was good. The entire created order was good. And then what follows is 48 chapters of sex, lies, betrayal, and violence. 48 chapters of greed and shame and drunkenness and hiding and treachery. Yeah, the first human stories are not very flattering. They're honest, they're truthful, but not very flattering. So when you scan your family at the Thanksgiving table, please know that they came by it naturally. And you probably are related to them. You do share DNA with them. Joyfully giving thanks. It's not a given. It's a choice. Now, I'd like to tell you a couple of stories this morning about two men. They were separated by thousands of miles and thousands of years. Two men from different times and cultures. However, these two men did share some things in common, a common faith and a common outlook or attitude. Now, the first is among the most famous men who ever lived. And he once said this, "Folks are usually about as happy as they make up their minds to be." Now, you might think, well, that's easy for a famous person to say. After all, they're famous. They can have an attitude like that. But he was not always famous. No, this man was born on the frontier. He was born to a poor family who lived in the backwoods. His mother would die of milk sickness. Milk sickness was caused by drinking the milk of cows who had been eating snake root. Milk sickness is also known as Trematol poisoning. The end was not pretty. His mother suffered from uncontrolled tremors and vomiting until she died mercifully, and the 9-year-old boy was left without his mother. Shortly after that, he was kicked in the head by a horse. They thought sure he would die. After all, he was unconscious for 24 hours. A little later, he was clubbed over the head during a robbery attempt. This boy loved to read and doodle, and his stepmother then thought him to be lazy because of it. His first love, his fiance, Ann Rutledge, died at the age of 22 of typhoid. Folks are usually about as happy as they make up their minds to be. Some years later, he would be married. He would be the father of 4 boys. One son, Eddie, died of tuberculosis at the age of 4. Son Willie would die, 12 years old, typhoid. His wife suffered from depression, for good reason, I would say, and so did he. The weight of the entire nation rested on his shoulders. He sent hundreds of thousands of young men to their graves, and he received thousands of letters from grief-stricken mothers. He would go to bed each night with that burden on his heart. He would look to God in prayer. He once said, "My concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side." He died a violent death at the most triumphant and hopeful time of his life. One who was with him when he died said, "It was the first time in 4 years that I had seen a peaceful expression on his face." The man who had been born in a log cabin would lay in state in the East Room of the White House and then in the Capitol Rotunda. Untold thousands would stand by railroad tracks to pay their respects as his funeral train rolled on towards Springfield, Illinois. He was one of the most famous men who ever lived. This man, you figured it out by now, was Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, who said, "Folks are usually about as happy as they make up their minds to be." God looked at all of creation. He said, it's good. And then 48 chapters of heartache and loss and betrayal followed. Human stories like yours and like mine. Broken families like yours, like mine. But there's a lot more to it than that. You see, sex, lies, betrayal, and violence, they make for good reading. The nightly news and the TV that we watch have a steady diet of such things. But the truth is, for every act of betrayal, there are 1,000 acts of human kindness. For every violent encounter, there are 1,000 tender moments of compassion and care. Most of the time, people are faithful and good. Most days pass without calamity. Most days are pretty routine. Routine and predictable. But routine and predictable does not make the evening news. And for every delusional, egotistical, and power-hungry politician, there are 1,000 humble, faithful neighbors who teach our children, nurse our dying, and serve quietly without accolade. We are fed, and we feed ourselves with a steady diet of sex, lies, betrayal, and violence. Is it any wonder that we live in fear? But the fear, like the deplorable state of humanity, is greatly exaggerated. We are more likely to fall off a ladder than we are to be the victim of a school shooting. We are more likely to be hit by a deer than we are to be a victim of terrorism. And likewise, when we consider our thankfulness, it's very much the same story. Our decision to be thankful is much the same. Now, we would all, everyone in this room would give thanks. Thank you, Jesus, if you won the lottery, would you not? And we are very thankful when we or our loved ones or our children are cured of a disease. We say our prayers of thanksgiving. We are very thankful when we're spared in an accident and when some unexpected grand event takes place in our lives. You know, the kind of good news that you put on Facebook. We give thanks, do we not? But most of the blessings that come our way are overlooked. They're routine. They're easy to miss, likely to be taken for granted. Blessings like that do not make the news. Let me ask you, think about your own life. Are you more likely, when you put your head down on the pillow at night, are you more likely to be giving thanks to God for the warm shower and the warm bed? Or are you more likely to be grousing about the Seahawks loss, the HOA meeting, or that long, boring sermon at church today? Yes, folks, we are usually about as happy as we make up our minds to be. Joyfully giving thanks is not a given. It's a choice to be made. The second story is told of a man who was born not in the backwoods to poverty, but no, this man was born to privilege. He was a citizen of the most powerful nation on earth. The journey of the Apostle Paul was perilous, to say the least. He escaped more close calls than James Bond. He had more run-ins with the law than Al Capone. He was in more prisons than Johnny Cash. He would be shipwrecked, beaten. He was interrogated and had stones thrown at him. And now he had been dragged to Rome. He was under arrest. He would never see the light of day again. And he had lost. He had lost his position, his family, and his freedom. And the next big event in his life was going to be when they dragged him out back to execute him by chopping off his head. Now, Paul had little in common with Lincoln, but they did share the same Lord and Savior. And they shared the same attitude about life. From prison, Paul wrote saying, "May you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks." And from prison, Paul wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your quest be made known to God." Two men Think about what they went through. They could have walked around with a chip on their shoulders. I would not have blamed them. They could have walked around with a frown on their face and a sour demeanor. They could have been angry at the world, but they weren't. No, they chose to be thankful. Folks are going to be about as happy as they make up their minds to be. Joyful giving thanks is not a given. It's a choice. Now, the challenge for us this holiday season, this election year, this time of great anxiety, in a season marked by darkness and for some a sense of hopelessness, the challenge is to open our eyes, to have some sense of history and perspective, to see the blessings that greet us each day, to behold God's creation and the gift of this day, and to raise our hands then to heaven, giving thanks and saying, "It is good." The truth is, we live with more creature comforts than the vast majority of kings and queens in all of human history. We have better access to healthcare, travel, information, and nutrition than the richest people in human history who were born more than 100 years ago. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, I'm not going to deny those other 48 chapters of Genesis. They're there. They're real. And there are chapters, I know, in all of our lives which cause us pain or regret or shame. We wish we could do them over. It is your story. It's a part of your story. It's uniquely yours, even though most of the details are shared by the rest of us too. It's your story. I would encourage you to learn from it. If there is a behavior or words or lack of compassion that's caused you pain or others pain, don't do that again. Learn from your story. But don't get stuck there. Make peace with your past. Make peace with your imperfection. And seek peace with your family and your neighbors. Now, if you look at the biblical story, it's very clear. Jesus did not care where you have been. Jesus only cares where you're going from here, today, going forward. And I'm here to tell you, your sins are forgiven. And it's only 30 days till Christmas. And that might make us ask, how many Christmases do you suppose you have left? How do you want this one to play out? But first we get to Thanksgiving. Joyfully giving thanks is not a given. It's a choice. Folks are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. What I know is that we are blessed, but we are not blessed in isolation. We are blessed to be a blessing. Amen. I invite you to stand and we'll sing.